Welcome to the Coder Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. This episode, we're going to be talking about the Rails 5.2 beta, which has recently come out. And I'm a little bit excited about this because it's some really nice things in the framework that a lot of people are starting to do in a lot of their applications. But there's one awesome new feature, Active Storage, which I believe I spoke about in a previous podcast or maybe on the YouTube channel, which is a really nice feature. So just as a TLDR, so the 5.2 beta, so it comes with Active Storage, Redis Cache Store, HTTP 2 Early Hints, which is really nice, CSP and Credentials. So what I'm going to do is go over the blog post here and just give you some of my thoughts and things like that on it. So getting on with the first one, the most exciting one, at least in my opinion, is Active Storage. So with the new Active Storage framework in Rails 5.2, we've solved for the modern approach of uploading files straight to the cloud. So this is directly to the cloud. There's no like in-betweening. So out of the box, there's support for Amazon S3, Google Cloud Storage, and Microsoft Azure. Cloud file storage. So that's really nice. You've got the main providers I think a lot of people are using, and I'm sure there's going to be additional gems that are going to enable other support, like, for example, DigitalOcean storage solution, which it seems people are quite liking that as well. So with this approach, though, if you're dealing with images, you can create variants on the fly. If you're dealing with videos or PDFs, you can create previews on the fly. And regardless of the type, you can analyze uploads for metadata extraction asynchronously. Like, these are just fantastic features that are going to come be hugely handy and important when you want to do some uploads, at least doing things a bit nicer and a bit better for the user. The on-the-fly stuff is really awesome. Now, I believe there was a gem, I can't remember, it was called Dragonfly. It was like a different option to Carrier Wave, which literally did this kind of functionality, which is really nice. And it really does make a big difference. And it's something that I'm used to in Drupal, would be able to generate these kind of variants and previews on the fly, which is really nice. So the saying here, Active Storage was extracted from Basecamp 3 by George Claghorn and DHH. Hopefully I'm pronouncing your last name right, George. Sorry if I'm not. So not only is the framework already used in production, it was born from production. There's that extraction design guarantee stamp. That's pretty nice. So when things are trialed by production, I think that's great. Now, of course, you know, it's great that it's trialed in production. They know it works, but there's also just the Basecamp's use case, but I'm sure it's going to be pretty well done, as things usually are with Basecamp. So the next thing, so they're saying here, speaking of extractions, Jeremy, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, Daya, and, sorry, I'm terrible with pronouncing names, has untangled a long jungle twine of hacks we were using at Basecamp to employ Redis for general partial, fragment, and other Rails caching jobs. There's a sparkling new Redis cache store that incorporates all those years of veteran hacks into a cohesive unit that anyone can use. So this new Redis cache store supports Redis distributed for memcache-like sharding across Redises, so multiple Redis instances. It's fault-tolerant, so we'll treat failures like misses rather than kill the request with an exception, which is super nice. So this fault tolerance is really important in your application, and when things get killed and just raise an exception, it's usually when things stop and you've got to have some way to manually work that out yourself. This is nice that it's going to be handling that fault, those issues with fault tolerance. Even supports distributed MGETs for the full partial collection caching goodness. That's really awesome. So they're saying here, just to go on a little bit further, this comes together with a massive leap forward for cache efficiency with key recycling and compression both available by default. So for Basecamp, it meant improving the cache lifetime by two orders of magnitude. Now that's huge. Two orders of magnitude is massive. So we went from having caches trashed in as little as a day to having caches last for months. And if you're using partial caching and the nesting doll strategy, your cache lifetime will improve dramatically between these two changes. This has meant you're going to have a much more performant application, but you do need to make sure you are using caching and using caching properly in Rails. So that's something you need to check out. Check out the Russian doll caching methods and all the other little caching methods you can do, which a lot of people skip. I even do this most of the time, if not all the time, is skipping the caching of your calls and controllers and things like that. That's going to make a huge difference alone just there, let alone with your views, etc. So it's really important to look into those and make sure you do use them if you really do need to have that cache performance. Next up, we've also embraced the cherry of HTTP2 with early hints through the work of Aaron and Eileen. This means we can automatically instruct the web server to send required stylesheet and JavaScript assets early, which means faster full page delivery, which I think it's already super quick with Turbo Links, etc. And this is just going to make it even faster again. So on the topic of performance, Rails now ships with Bootstrap in the default gem file. So it's created by, they're saying, our friends at Shopify, and it generally reduces application boot times by over 50%. Now, this is a gem you can add to your projects right now. So if you've got a Rails app right now, you can add Bootstrap, and it's literally going to cut your boot time of the application in half. It's pretty crazy. It's really nice to see. And I'm kind of glad they put it in there by default, because I feel that a lot of people are adding that in by default or adding that in now with their application. So it's a no-brainer just to have that in there for you, saving you one more step. I can add it to the gem file and append to, I believe it was the application RB file. So nice to see there. Next thing, Rails has always been in the forefront of making your web applications more secure, leading the way with built-in CSRF and XSS protection, and we've enhanced that further in Rails 5.2 with the addition of a new DSL that allows you to configure a content security policy for your application. This is something that I feel that Rails has been missing, and one of the things I loved about Hanami framework. So this, if you haven't checked it out, check out Hanami Ruby. So Hanami is a brilliant framework, different take on how they structure and do things, but it is this very, very much so content security policy focused front end kind of focused. A way of approaching security. It's more of a modern approach, and it seems like Rails is starting to catch up to do those kind of things as well, which is nice to see. It's better for frameworks overall, so it's good to see that in there, and it's one of those things I love that's coming from Hanami, or at least from me, from starting to use Hanami. It's going into Rails, which is really nice. So you can configure a global default policy and then override it on a per resource basis, and even use lambdas to inject per request values into the header, such as account subdomains in a multi-tenant application. Now, this is going to be really handy for anyone who may run subdomains based on applications. Like I used to have one. That's going to make it a lot better in general. This would have served me quite well back then as well. So that's nice to see there. The next thing is, but it's not all just new starry-eyed wonders. In Rails 5.1, we added encrypted secrets. So these secrets were like the old secrets, but more secret. It's pretty funny how they worded that. Basically, that you want to make sure that your secrets actually were secret, because there was a secrets file which you didn't check into your repository, so you didn't keep it in Git or whatever version control system you're using, unless you're using environment variables, and it didn't really matter. You could still keep the secrets file in there. But the problem was, a lot of people were committing the secrets file, and it did have the information in there that you didn't want to be in a repo. You shouldn't commit those kind of things. So in Rails 5.2, they've rectified that mess by deprecating the two different kinds of secrets and introduced a new shared concept called credentials. So credentials are like AWS access keys and other forms of logins and passwords, were the dominant use case for secrets. So why not just call a spade a spade? So spade it is. So credentials are always encrypted. So always encrypted 100% of the time. This means they're safe to check into revision control, so into your version control, as long as you keep the key out of it. So really, really important note here. You've got to keep the key out. That means atomic deploys. No need to mess with a flurry of environment variables and other benefits of having all credentials that the app needs in one place, safe and secure. Now, I like the environments approach, but it is a bit of a pain to manage and work out at times. So it's nice that this is going to take that away and you just have to worry about the key. So in addition, we've opened up the API underlying credentials so you can easily deal with other encrypted configurations, keys, and files. That's pretty awesome how you can encrypt more than just that. So really nice to see there. So next thing, since Rails 5.1, we've also made great strides with Webpacker. So Rails 5.2 is meant to pair beautifully with the new Webpacker 3 release. Rails has fully embraced modern JavaScript with a pre-configured build pipeline run by Webpack. We keep strengthening that relationship. So I think this was a pretty big and important thing bringing in Webpacker is basically because I think everyone is really pushing towards the front end to give that more of a rich experience for their end user. And all these features that we've talked about so far in this blog post is certainly supporting that and making it even better. So that's really nice that they've done that. And Webpacker 3 also improves some things. So if you were trying out Webpacker and you tried out Webpacker 2, I found it a little bit annoying at times. It was just little things that really got to me. But Webpacker 3 looks to fix a lot of those as well. And to round things out, and of course, there's about 5 bajillion other fixes, improvements, and tweaks in this new big release of Rails. It's been lovingly tended over the past 7 months or so since Rails 5.1. Surprising how it's already been 7 months. We're so happy to share all this with you, and as always, thank the many, many contributors for their continued effort to make Rails the wonderful framework that it is. So this is a really nice kind of way to sort of sign things off about this beta release. Now, they're saying here that it's the first beta release of 5.2, and they're still putting on the final touches on everything, as they're quoting here. But basically, they're encouraging you to give it a try. So just try upgrading an existing app or start a new app on it and see how you go and contribute back, you know, note some bugs or even try and fix the bugs and issue some pull requests and things like that. And they're saying here, though, note that Basecamp is already running the latest in production. So while there still might be some issues, it's already in respectable shape. So it's a pretty solid beta based on that, because Basecamp has a pretty big audience and they certainly do use Rails to its extent. So it's nice to see there. But even if you just create a new branch of your application and then switch it over to Rails 5.2, do the upgrade process, see how it runs. You might be surprised and things might run quite well. If you run your test suite, everything's good. Maybe you even want to run it in production as well. It'd be a little bit edgy there. It's up to you, but I highly recommend at least trying that out and just seeing what it's like in a new branch. You know, worst case scenario, just kill the branch and you go back to your normal Rails. But I'd love to know what your thoughts are on this Rails 5.2 release. I'm quite excited about it. I think it's a really nice release, and it's going to make a pretty big difference to your web development in general for your applications. But I'd love to know your thoughts on it. Have you upgraded to the beta yet? Have you tried it out? What's it been like? You can send through a tweet to @CodaCatchUp on Twitter. You can send through an email to CodaCatchUp@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on CodaCatchUp.com for this episode. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, please leave a comment in the comment section below. And if you're enjoying the podcast, give a like. If you want to get more of the podcast as well as other videos, make sure you subscribe and share to your friends. If you are listening to this in iTunes, check out the YouTube channel, and a rating and review in iTunes would be awesome as well. That's all I really got for this episode, and we'll catch the next one. Bye.